Well, what I want to do this morning is really kind of get inside Joseph's experience in our gospel today. If any of you took the Rejoice Advent books, there's actually a reflection this week that just kind of put ourselves in Joseph's shoes, okay? So Mary's been gone for 3 months. She was visiting Elizabeth. She comes home. She's already in the second trimester. Mary's showing. You're Joseph. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? What are you feeling? What are you thinking when you see Mary? Now, of course, Mary, she would tell Joseph, share with him what has happened, the angel and all these. But I can just imagine in Joseph's mind just a confusion. Not knowing what to think. Joseph, he knows Mary. He would never doubt Mary. But yet at the same time, like, it'd be hard. And if it's true even, thinking like, Jesus, if this is true, Lord, how can I then take Mary into my home? How can I raise this child? You haven't come to me and told me this, so I must not be in this plan. Or maybe Joseph just simply goes to the Lord and said, Lord, this wasn't the plan. This was not my plan. When I went to Mary and asked her for her hand, this was not my plan for my life. Maybe anger, maybe betrayal, doubt, fear. Above all, I think fear, confusion. Joseph's a righteous man. And so he goes to pray. He goes to the Lord with this. But as he prays, he just finds no peace. And so finally, one day, he comes back to Mary. And you can just imagine the scene as he comes before her and he says, Mary, I can't do this. I'm sorry, Mary. I'll divorce you quietly. I'll give you no shame. You'll be okay. But I just can't do this, Mary. And he goes home. And that night as he goes to bed, he's just so confused. Was that the right choice? The turmoil, just the spinning, this all over the place, right? So again, what does Joseph do? He turns to the Lord. As he lies in bed, he turns to the Lord. He brings everything. He hands over his heart. He hands his heart to the Lord as it is. He brings him everything that's there. He begs the Lord. He cries. And finally, late at night, he finally falls asleep. And that night, the angel comes to him in a dream. It's not like he's sleeping at all. In fact, it's like he's more awake than he's ever been. He hears the words more clearly than every words he's ever heard before. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph wakes up and he's a changed man. The confusion, the tension, all of the fear, it's all gone. The despair, the hopelessness. And it's replaced with just this large sense of peace. This weighty peace. And Joseph knows what he's supposed to do. You know, the angel spoke perfectly to a man's heart. He told Joseph, Joseph, remember who you are and know that you have a mission, Joseph. Joseph, son of David. You can imagine what those words meant to Joseph's heart. Joseph, remember who you are. Joseph, you are a son of David, Joseph. Now, obviously, many generations, right? But you can imagine what this does to his heart. The same blood is running in your veins, Joseph. You're a son of David. Remember, the Messiah will come from your line. And you have a mission, Joseph. Do not be afraid to take Mary into your home. She's going to have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, which means God saves. He will be the Savior. Joseph, that's your mission. Joseph is filled with a new hope that morning. a new hope for his life. He had given up hope. He didn't know. He's got a new hope for life. He's got a new energy, a new zeal. He's got a confidence and just a strong, strong peace. He sits up in bed and he remembers the words from our first reading, from the prophet, from Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and will bear a son. And you shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. Mary's son, he thinks. Emmanuel. He will be my son. God with us. The book then imagines Joseph that day going back to Mary again. And this time as Joseph walks up to Mary's house, she sees him coming and she doesn't have to hear, he doesn't have to say anything. Mary just knows. She sees it in his face. She feels it in his composure. Joseph's a changed man. He's a new man. Joseph has surrendered to God. He said yes to the Lord. Mary turns to God and she thanks God. She feels safe. She feels protected. She feels so cared for by God and by this good man. He will be a father to Jesus. Mary is a new woman. As you know, this Advent I've been preaching on the three themes. Hear God, hand him your heart, and today we have hope. Have hope. I wanted to focus on that story because I think this story from Joseph just bears that out so perfectly, right? How Joseph did exactly that. In the turmoil and the mess that his life had become, what does he do? He turns to the Lord. He hears God. He hands him his heart. And then both Joseph and Mary, they're filled with a new hope for their life. I also wanted to tell this story because I can imagine it's probably your story too. Whatever that experience is in your life, or maybe it's right now that is what you're experiencing in your life. The last few days I've been talking to people and we're in the height of the holiday season. And what I sensed was just a lot more of Joseph before the angel than after the angel, right? A lot more anxiety than peace. Your kids are sick, you're sick, there's stress. You want everything to go perfect. All the family tensions that come up, right? Where are my kids going to be at when they come home? Will they even come to church with me? Longing for that faith. Grieving those who have died this year or recently. You miss them. Or maybe they've been gone a long time, but this just brings it up, right? Or maybe like Joseph, you're just saying, Lord, this wasn't the plan, okay? This wasn't the plan. Hear God. Hand him your heart. And have new hope this week. Where does Joseph's hope come from? This is really important. Joseph's hope does not come from God promising Joseph that he's going to work out the plan that Joseph had for his life. That's not where his hope comes from. God comes and overnight, God changed the plan. Like totally changed the plan. Threw it upside down in his life, right? God came into the mess and made a mess of everything. You could say. No, Joseph's hope comes from a different place. It comes from Emmanuel, God with us. That's what changed in Joseph's life. Hope does not come from God telling us that he's going to work everything out the way we want it to. We want God to come and to promise that he's going to come and he's going to fix my family. That he's going to come and he's going to fix my life or this situation or our country or the family history that we've had or whatever it is. But all of that, you see, is still my plan. I think if we look spiritually, one of the biggest lies that we fall into is thinking that we're alone, that we're in this ourselves, that we got to take care of it ourselves. And frankly, that we're just not good enough then. And it's a lie. It's not true. But it works itself out even in the best of intentions. Like, I got to get myself ready. I got to make the right plans and strategies to make this whole thing work out for my family and for our faith and for you, Lord, or for whatever it is. It can be in bad ways, but even in the best of ways. This Advent, I'm going to get cleaned up and I'm going to get ready. And here we are, right? But yet, the focus of all those things, please notice that that focus is still what? It's still me, my life, my plan. But the hope that God gives us is not hope in myself and in my plans. The hope is in him. That he is Emmanuel. That God will come. And that God will never fail. He will not fail. He doesn't promise us that we won't fail. Rather that he's faithful, even in our failures. Pope Benedict once said, he said, you know, God can write straight with crooked lines. God can actually come into to our failures and even use the things that have gone wrong and the failures and all of the mess that we find ourselves in. And he can take and he can use that to open up new paths for his love to enter in. That's what God can do. That's where our hope is. He's Emmanuel. When Pope Benedict said that, he was talking about Joseph's ancestry, by the way. The whole genealogy, that sounds really boring. All of those people that go from Abraham all the way to Joseph, pretty spicy people in there. And God said, look, no, he's able to enter in. God's not afraid of our mess. He's not afraid of your mess. And you don't have to get your mess cleaned up before you're ready to go to God. Just go. Invite Emmanuel to come in. God with us. That's who Jesus is. Joseph was a new man. Not because his circumstances changed. Nothing changed from one day to the next. There was the same circumstances. But Joseph changed, didn't he? What happened in the middle was Emmanuel. That God came. And Joseph let go of his own plans for his life. Or even if he was good enough or not. Instead, he let God come. And he made Joseph a new man with a new hope, a new lease on his life, a new way of love to enter in. So don't panic, okay? We panic. God's not panicking at your mess. Let's just invite him in and have hope again, not in ourselves, but in him this week, in him. You know, last week, I think it was Saturday night, I think it was Deacon Russ Saturday night, he was preaching, and he just shared how he had had one particular rough day, I don't remember it, but he had gone to adoration then, and he said, this being with Jesus in adoration, it changed him, and he left in peace again, going back into his life. He said, did I hear God? No. And I wanted to stand up and say, yes, you did. Yes, you did. That was my whole point. You heard God. But that wasn't the point. The point was being with Jesus in the Eucharist brought him greater peace because he is Emmanuel. Because he is God with us here in the Eucharist, and being with him brings us a new hope and gives us a new lease. And we walk into our life a new person. And so I want to invite you to a new hope this week. As you know, at the end of Mass today, we're going to start our 33 hours with the Lord. Have some time. We're actually going to finish, instead of the last blessing, we'll just put out the Eucharist and begin our adoration time as we prepare to leave at the end of Mass. I invite you to come. Spend some time with the Lord in these days. Just come be with him. Take an hour. If you can't take an hour, take whatever you got. Maybe you can't come in the next 24 hours. Maybe this day just isn't going to work. Then come later in the week. Just come. Be with him, Emmanuel, who is here to be with you. Let him give you a new hope this year. You know, we had our own kind of Joseph moment this week. Last week, Deacon Tony preached so beautifully on all of Deacon Joe's amazing capabilities as a preacher and to be able to give this talk on Monday night that he was coming to do. And I got an email from Deacon Joe. He said, Father, my dad just died, which is a blessing because he was in the nursing home. He had dementia. It's a huge blessing for us. But the funeral's Monday in Ohio. I can't give the talk. And so what did I do? I did what Joseph did. Hear God, hand him your heart, I went to pray, and I brought it all to the Lord. And guess what? I had still great hope. I just had hope because I realized, like, what's the point? The point, Lord, is actually to come and be with you. Not to have a particular speaker. It's to be with you in the Eucharist, and that you will be with us, and you will give us hope and peace and prepare our hearts. I had sent an email to Bishop Zielinski because I was like, I'm preaching on your message. Do you want to come talk? He said, well, I can't come talk. He said, but one thing I would say is just please take some time for silence, actually. Maybe they don't need a whole talk. So I kind of just rethought the plan. And then I sent a text message to Father Nathan Hansen. You know Deacon Nathan, right? I said, would you come give a little talk and just help us go into this time of silence with the Lord? He says, yeah, I can do that. So Father Nathan, I'm so excited. Father Nathan Hansen's coming Monday night, 7 o'clock. He's going to give just a shorter talk, bring us into just a time of silence, just being with Jesus and the Lord, and then we'll have our night of peace. We'll have the adoration, some music with Megan. We'll have four priests here, confessions. It's going to be a beautiful night, and I have so much hope. And so come, hear God, hand him your heart.